It doesn't make you right. It doesn't make you do the things that are pleasing unto the Father. No, it doesn't. It doesn't. And so when He corrects us, we don't get weary. But I want to show you one of the main reasons why you're weary. And why your minds are weary. You think you know? I will tell you what Scripture says. Is either the truth or it's not. All Scripture is given by the inspiration of Yahweh. I'm not talking about the deceitfulness of the pens of the vain scribes. I will show you why you're weary. Scripture says in Hebrews chapter 12. This is why we're weary. He was a man. Hebrews 12:3. It says, for consider Him. We don't consider Yahweh. We don't consider Messiah in nothing. He said, consider Him that endured such contradiction or opposition of sinners against Himself. Consider Him now. Is Messiah in your thoughts? In your action? He said, consider. That's what He said. Least now, if you don't consider Him least, you become weary. And you faint in your mind. And that's why they're fainting. No, they're considering the wickedness. They're considering everything but Him. He said, you consider Him. You understand what He suffered as a man. He said, if you don't do that, you're going to become weary. You're going to lose heart. And men don't consider Him today. They consider themselves, well, I'm going through something. You don't understand. You're full of lies. But my wife left me. So what? My son turned his back on me. So what? My husband walked up. So what? He said, you consider Him. Now that's why folks are becoming weary today, because they don't consider Him. If Esau had to consider Yahweh, he would not become weary, saints. But because he didn't consider the laws of the righteousness of the Father, he became weary. He could have fed them. He could have sustained him. He could have gave him pottage right there in the wilderness while he was roaming and hunting if his heart had been faithful unto the Father. But his heart wasn't faithful unto the Father. He was a profane thing and a fornicator. He was an evil thing, what he was. And so in our situations, our circumstances, we never consider Messiah. No, we don't, saints. You consider your circumstance and your situation. You can say, I consider Him not so. He gave us a charge. You consider Him now that endured such opposition. They call Him every kind of evil thing there was. The Beelzebub. They call Him a fool. They say, you don't know how to love. You're not kind. You're not sweet. You're not this. You don't know God. You're not this. You're not that. Say, consider Him. Consider what things He endured. If you don't do that, saints, if those things are not paramount in your mind and your spirit, you shall become weary. And you're going to faint in this hour. And many are becoming weary and they are fainting because they don't even consider Him. When going through a trial, they allow the thoughts of the trial, what they're going through, to take up every thought in their mind. Their mind is bombarded with that. Instead of them saying, I know Yahweh is able, for He is able. Yet they say that with their lips, but their hearts don't believe that. They say it with their mouths, but it's not an issue within their hearts. Well, mama's going to say this about me, and daddy, they think I'm this or they think I'm that. They say, consider Him. Consider Him. He endured that. He endured it. He pressed beyond those words and what they said. He pressed beyond that opposition. Say, consider Him now. If you don't consider Messiah, you're going to become weary. You have no spirit to forbear you. And you're going to give up. You're going to faint because you say, I'm about to die. So what good is that to me? I might as well go out there and do it. Just do what I want to do. I'm going to die anyway. So I'll just do what I want to do. And we don't consider Him. We don't consider Messiah. And that's why this is a weary generation. It's a generation that is weary in their expression. They're weary in their worship. They're weary in their praises unto Him. They're weary when they consider Him. Because they don't even consider Him. They don't consider Him. He's not in their thoughts, and that's why they're very weary today.
Their minds are very weary. And they just faint. They give up. There's no press in their hearts or their souls. They simply give up. And the principles of his laws, they're not applicable to them. They don't apply them to their hearts. And they just give up. Because they don't consider him. They don't want his correction. When he does it, they become very weary. Why you correct me? I'm sick of that. Every time I turn around, it's this, it's that, it's this, it's that. Well, the scripture tells you what to do even in that too. You better begin to consider him. No, you become weary because you consider your son, your daughter. Your mind is on them. He said consider him. He endured. Consider him that endured such opposition and said, least ye now. Lest ye be weary. Lest ye become weary. And that's why you are weary. You give no thought to him. He's out of your mind. You can say, oh, I love him. No, you can't when you're weary. You can't love him. Because he's not in your thought. He's a wellspring of life. He'll cause a wellspring of life to bubble from your soul. He'll cause the joy to fill the inward parts of a man's soul. And because we don't consider him that endured that contradiction of sinners, we become very weary. And we began to faint. We faint, saints. Have you ever seen someone faint? They fall literally out. And wherever they fall, they fall. Unless someone is there to catch them, they fall out. And he said, you become weary and you just faint. You fall out under the opposition. You fall out under the pressure of those circumstances and those situations. If a man faint in his day of adversity, that one has no strength at all. Little is his strength. If you faint and give up on the laws of righteousness because there are things you perceive that's a part of you or you love that, then you have no strength at all. He's not going to have anything before him. I'm telling all you parents, he's not going to let you put your sons, your daughters, your babies, your husband, your wives, your families, nothing. He's not going to allow you to put anything above his laws. He wants you to be sold out, for he paid the price to buy you, to purchase you. You're not going to put nothing before him. I don't care what you think. You can put all you want to before him. You don't know him. That's what Esau did. He put things before Yahweh. And because when he did that, he became very weary. He didn't allow Yahweh to correct him. And said, you're wrong, boy. You're wicked. He wouldn't accept that. I'm not that way. He said, you are. Well, I'm not that way. I will show you my proudness and my ability. I'm a great hunter. I can hunt. And yet he went out all day and could find nothing. And Yahweh will show him you have nothing. Nothing. And he did it in his own might, in his own power, and he came back all weary. Faint of heart, weary. Because he didn't consider the laws of Yahweh. You must consider Messiah. He came to fulfill the laws of Yahweh and the prophets. He did not come to disannul them. You got to consider him. And he endured the contradictions of sinners. This wicked generation, this religious whore today, they contradict everything that Yahweh says. It just allows the laws of Yahweh, his righteous truths. And that's why they're weary. Why? Because they're sold out for nothing. For nothing. I won't do it Yahweh. I just won't do it. And I don't feel no ways tired either. Not at all. And I'm not weary. One bit. Not at all. For when I think about what Messiah suffered for this corrupt thing here, and he bore my sins on that body, in that body, I won't get weary. I consider my ways and what things I've done and see what I've done. And I consider that he bore that for me. I'm not tired at all. I'm not ready to give up at all. Not one bit. Not at all. As the old song said, if I have to go the last mile by myself, you can sing that. I'm going. I know he's there. I know he's by my side. I know that. That's why I'm not weary. I won't get weary. I'm doing well. His spirit dwells in me. I'm doing well. You don't get weary in well doing. No, if you do well, you say you're doing well and you're weary. You're not doing well. You're not doing well at all. Look at what David says in Psalms chapter 107. Psalms 107. Verse 2. It says this now. This is what he says. Psalms 107. Tertullian 107. Verse 2. He says, first of all, let. That's why we let the same mind that was in Messiah, it ought to be in us as well. Then he says, let the redeemed of Yahweh say this. They ought to say so. Let them say this, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Did he not redeem you from the hand of the enemy? Did not Yahweh redeem you from the hand of the powers of darkness? He says, and gather them out of the land from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south. Even us gathered here, you have come from the east, from the west, from the north, and from the south. New York, Wyoming, from everywhere. Michigan, Detroit, Tennessee, Charlotte, North Carolina, Monroe, South. Gather them out of the land from the east, from the west, and from the north, and from the south. He said they wandered in the wilderness in a solitary or a barren way. They found no city to dwell in. Listen to this now. Hungry and thirsty. Blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. But abide hunger and thirst for the righteous laws of Yahweh, he shall. I believe that. They were hungry and thirsty. Listen here now. Their souls fainted in them. When their souls fainted, look what they did now. They had nothing to rely upon. Then, only then, they cried unto Yahweh in their trouble. And he delivered them out of their distress, out of all of their perplexities. Man would not cry unto him today. They cried unto Yahweh. They did not cry unto the name of Jesus, or Lord. They cried unto Yahweh. He delivered them out of what? He delivered them out of their distress, their perplexity, their weariness. He delivered them. When they were faint in heart, they were so weary, their souls were famished. The only thing they could do was cry. Help me, Yahweh. I can't do it unless you help me. And then he delivered them. Why did he do that? Because he wanted them to know that I am the one. In the midst of your mighty strength, what strength do you think you have? You have nothing without me. I want you to understand that. And he allowed them, even in their correction, he corrected them and they got weary, didn't they? They went to their own gods. They made their gods. They established their gods. They went after the gods of the heathens. And he allowed hunger and thirstiness to fill their souls. Why? Because they said, this ain't right what we're doing. The way we're walking, we're not prosperous. It's not blessing our souls. We're not full of the gladness and the worship of Yahweh. In the midst of the death of their souls, they cried out. And then he delivered them. Esau didn't do that. He didn't do that. He still relied upon the power of his flesh. Shall sell it. It's mine. I can do what I want to. And then he went out and despised his birthright. He despised his birthright. He despised it. When they realized their souls were famished. When they were so weary. Have you ever been weary, saints? You might as well answer yourself honest. And you're so weary you can't pray. You can't do anything. All you do is think about the situation and the circumstance. Your soul is famished. It's near death. And all of a sudden, somehow Yahweh quickens you. He brings alive a word of faith in your soul. And you just say, Father, help me. No long prayer. They just cried out unto Yahweh in their trouble. They knew they were in trouble. They said, we are in trouble. We have no way out of this unless you deliver us. It's in your hands. There's nothing we can do. That's why we pray, whatever thy will be done. If it's life or death, your will be done. Whatever you do, Father, I'm satisfied. Whatever you do, Yahweh, it's all right. By me, it's all right. That's what they cried out. And when they did that, he delivered them from the distress. He said, now I can deliver you. I can bring you to that place of plentifulness. I can bring you to that place of wholesomeness. And that's what he wants to do. That's what his correction does. You just don't get weary when he corrects you. When he exposes your sins and your corruption, you don't get upset with him for that. You began to rejoice. You want your sins to go before you. You don't want your sins to go after you. You want them to go before the altar of your way. That's what you want. You want his judgment to come expediently. Because you don't want your heart to do evil. Because judgment is not executed expediently. The heart of man is fully set to do wickedness or to do evil. So you want him to judge you. So you bless him when he judges you. You bless him when he corrects you and chastens you. That's the blessing, saints. Because if he doesn't do that, your heart is fully set to do evil. And you will do evil. You will do wicked things and vile things that will separate you from his throne, saints. And he doesn't want that. When they cried out unto him, he delivered them. He knew then that there was nothing you could do. You were in a fix. What can you do? And that's what I wanted all along. Cried unto me. And they cried out. And he delivered them from all of their troubles. He delivered them from their perplexities. He says in verse 7, and he led them forth by the wrong way. He led them by the what? Right way. He will lead you by the right way. That they might go into the city of habitation. He said, knowing this, saints, that in the midst of that, you are to, as he says in verse 8, oh my, what he said. He said, my, that men would praise Yahweh for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. He said, oh, that men would just praise him because they know that he does that. You're so weary you can't do that. Oh, that if we would just praise the Father for all of his good deeds that he has shown to us. Now Messiah did not come of himself. He was sent by the Father. You always sent the Son to redeem us. He sent him to show us his power of redemption, saints. That's what the Father did. And knowing that all that we will praise him for the wonderful work he has done through that body to deliver and to save you. He sent the Son. He sent him. Oh, that we will praise him for his good works and his wonderful works and his deeds that he has done. It says in verse 9, for he satisfied the longing soul, and he filleth the hungry soul with righteous or good things. That's what he does, saints. Blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness. Why? Because he's going to fill the righteous soul with righteous things or good things. For the righteous man's soul, that's what you're always going to do. He has not changed, saints. He has not changed one bit at all. He is the same today, yesterday, and throughout eternity. He is the same. He has not changed at all. And knowing that, we ought to praise him and bless him for all of his wonderful works that he has done for us all. We ought to bless him and thank him for that. For he is the one that has done the mighty works. It's Almighty Yahweh. We become so weary in our souls, we will begin to run from him. That's why many will run from his truth, his laws. They will try to find consolation or solution, other things. You're not going to find it, but in the principle of his truth. Messiah fulfilled everything that the Father said. He didn't come to destroy it. He said, this whole earth and the heavens shall be dissolved before one jot and one yod shall pass from the laws of Almighty Yahweh. That's how firm he is. He hasn't changed. I'm glad he hasn't changed. He's unchangeable. He is the same. Today and forevermore. Now I want you to turn quickly to Jonah. Jonah. Chapter 2. I'm not going to read all the verses. I want to start at verse 5. The scripture tells us that in verse 1 that Yonah began to pray. It tells you where he began to pray. He was in the belly of the fish when he began to cry out unto Yahweh. He was enclosed. And many of you are enclosed in your circumstances and your situations. They have enclosed you. They have compassed about you. Your mind cannot dispel it. You can't overcome it. And he was in a situation because he had disobeyed what the Father had commanded him to do. And our circumstance come because we disobey Yahweh. When you disobey him, you're going to be enclosed in that circumstance or that situation. Scripture says in chapter 2, verse 5, he began to pray, the waters compassed me about. He said, even to the soul, the depth closed me round about, the weeds were wrapped about my head. He said, I went down to the bottom of the mountains, and the earth with her bars were about me forever. I was closed in, couldn't get out, no way to turn, I was bound. That's what he said. He said, Yet Yahweh has not brought me, has not brought up my life from corruption. Oh Yahweh, my Father. I don't believe he said, oh God, oh Lord. I believe he said, oh Yahweh, my Father. This is what we must do, says he. We must do. But we sense that faintness and that weariness coming upon us. He said, when my soul fainted within me, I remembered Yahweh. That's just it. For my soul fainted, consider him that endured. He said, when I was so life in me, I couldn't pray. I just remembered him. His name was in my thoughts. His name was in my heart. I remembered Yahweh. Not I remember the Lord God. He said, I remember Yahweh. And my prayer, when I remembered him, and my prayer came unto thee. In thine holy sanctuary. That they that observe or regard lying, worthless vanities, forsook their own mercies. When a man regard lying vanities, he will forsake his own mercies, his own kindness, his own love toward others. He said, but I will offer unto thee, look at this now, the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. He was in bondage. He needed deliverance. What does it say there? It says what? That first word. Say it out loud, everyone. Come on, say it loud. He said what? Salvation is of Yahweh. When he said that, and Yahweh spoke unto the fish, and it vomited out Yonah upon the dry land. When you realize there's no other way I can come forth, but by the power of Almighty Yahweh. When his soul was famished and weary, he remembered the Father. He remembered the Father. And his mind was given over to the Father. And he said, I know that you are only. I'm bound in the bondage of chains, the bars. I'm at the foot of the mountain. I'm in the midst of this belly. Unless my hope is in you, there's no way I'm going to be delivered. When he began to cry out, I know that my salvation is in thine hand. Is that the same salvation today? It's the same. When he said that then, Yahweh brought him forth on dry land. And they went through dry shot. Even as the enemy pursued them, they went through dry shot through the Red Sea. He brought him forth. That's why we ought to praise him. Oh, that man. If we would be just mindful of him. He began to pray in that belly. Sure he did. In that deep dungeon, he was in famish. He was weary. He had no way to turn. He didn't know which way to go. He said, when my soul was weary, when it fainted within me, I remembered. When I had nothing else to rely upon, I remembered. I remembered. I remembered. I remember the one that spoke to me and told me what to do. And I didn't do it. I remembered. I remember your way. Why? Because I know that He is only able to save me. When he realized that only Yahweh can save, he brought him forth into that perfect place. Sure it did. Salvation is of Yahweh. That's why he made Messiah flesh his word. He came forth out of the word of Yahweh. He was made, the word was made flesh. You can say what you want. He was made, and he made man, and he made woman. He was made flesh. Look at what our doctrine has taught us. That's the simple truth. That's the simple truth. That's the truth. When his soul was fainted within him, he remembered Yahweh. When he remembered him, then his prayer came on up unto the Father in the midst of his holy sanctuary. It was a sweet smell of savory smell that came up before Yahweh. Yes, he indulged in that one. He indulged in that one. He said, I want to tell you something. You're the one that's able to save me. If you don't save me, that's all right. But if you save me, your will be done. Whatever you do, it's all right. I know one thing. You can save me. Nothing else you can save me. If nothing else, you can save me. When he did that, then he always said, the scripture says he spoke to the fish. And said, you take him up on dry land. And he vomited. He spit him out of his mouth. He spit him out of his mouth. That's what he did. In the midst of the very darkness of the deepness of trials and distress, when a man remembers Yahweh, he will cause that trial to vomit him out. They will not have power over him. Those things wrap your mind up. As Yahweh said that the seaweeds were around my head, they will wrap your head up, will wrap your mind, wrap your spirit. You can't move, you can't function, you can't think. That is what that seaweed did. You would think a man in the midst of that, he wouldn't worry about no seaweed. And yet the scripture said that he said the seaweed was about my head. And yet when he cried unto Yahweh, he delivered him up. Caused him to come forth. Sure he did. That's what he will do, saints. We truly trust him. He will cause us to come forth as mighty sons of Yahweh. And we will walk in the mighty strength and the anointing of the Father too. As we do this. I want to show you something here. Scripture tells us in Luke chapter 18. This is a command unto us. Luke chapter 18 verse 1. Luke 18 verse 1. Luke 18 1. I want you to see what this says. Who is that speaking there? What color is it? Is it black writing? Huh? Is it what? It's red. All right. So this is what he says, Messiah. And he spake a parable unto them. To this end. He said, I want to tell you something. That men ought always to pray. If a man prayed, he said, men ought to always, not sometime. Men ought to always pray and not to faint. Now that's just a commandment of Yahweh. When a man prays, he will not faint. He said men ought to always pray and faint not. Don't become weary. If we pray, we will not faint. We get weary because we don't pray. We get down that moment and say, we don't pray, you can say what you will. He spoke a parable unto them. The men ought to always pray now. That's always interceding. He told us how to pray. Pray our Father which art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. He said men ought to always pray. And they ought not to faint and faint not. Now don't faint when you pray. And yet you get weary when you pray. You faint when you pray. That's not what the Father wants. We ought to always pray. We ought not to faint, saints. We should not give up. We should not give in. Look at what the distress is. You shouldn't give in. That's the truth. Hallelujah. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 12. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 12.
Many are weary because of this. Habakkuk chapter 2 verse 12. Woe to him that buildeth a town with blood. He build his personal place with sin, lies, corruption. And then he established a city by iniquity, corrupt wickedness, uncontrollable wickedness. He says in verse 13, he said, behold, is it not of Yahweh of hosts that the people shall labor for the very fire? We ought to labor, I don't know what he says, in the fire, but labor for this fire of his spirit. And the people shall weary themselves for the very vanity. We weary ourselves for worthless things. For things that are worthless. That's what vanity is. Worthless things. For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge and of the honor of Yahweh as the water covers the sea. The earth is going to be filled with that. It's going to be filled with, there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. And it's going to be filled with the knowledge of Almighty Yahweh. It's not going to be Buddha. It's not going to be these other gods and these idioms. It's going to be one mighty one. His name is going to be Yahweh. And his name is going to fill the earth. There are thousands and millions of gods that fill the earth today. Because man has turned his heart away from the creator of all things. That's what he has done. And yet the knowledge of Yahweh, we ought to labor for that fire, the fire of his spirit. There's one coming after me that's going to baptize you with the spirit and with fire. That's what Yohana says. He's not going to baptize you with the spirit, but he's going to put fire in you. We should have to labor for that instead of become weary because we labor for the things of vanity. Just vain things, empty things. No life in them, no purpose, no hope in nothing. There's no hope in nothing but in Yahweh. Nothing. There's no hope in nothing, not in riches, not in land, not in your beautiful sons and daughters. There's no hope in any of that. Period. Period. It's only in the Father. And that's it. When a man doesn't see that, then woe unto him. I want to close here. There's much more, but I want to close here. In Isaiah chapter 1 verse 3. Isaiah chapter 1 verse 3. It says, the ox knoweth his owner. He understands that the owner takes care of him. The ox does. We don't believe that Yahweh takes care of us. He said, the ox knoweth his owner. And the ass of the donkey his master's crib. He said, but Israel does not know. My people does not consider. They don't even understand me. This generation doesn't understand Yahweh. He calls them, first of all, a sinful nation. We are a sinful people. A people laden now with iniquity. We're bound by our own iniquity. A seed of evildoers. The heart is filled with evil thoughts and evil deeds. Children that are corruptors. Everything they touch, they corrupt. Children that are corruptors, they have forsaken Yahweh. They have forsaken him now. As Peter and the brothers forsook Messiah, they have forsaken Yahweh, and they have provoked the Holy One of Israel to anger. They have gone away backwards. They have backslidden against Yahweh. Why should ye be stricken anymore? He asked them, why should I have to chastise you and beat you anymore? Tell me. He said, you will revolt more and more. And that's what we do. When he corrects us, we revolt the more and more. We get angry. We get mad. You might as well say hallelujah. You revolt the more and more. He said, you revolt the more and more. The reason you do that, because he said the whole head is sick. You're just sick. And the whole heart is weary. You just faint. You faint of heart. You're weary. He said, from the sole of the foot even to the head, there is no soundness in it. There's no soundness in you at all. None. None whatsoever. Because when he speaks the sound things to us, it ought to ring with a soundness to it. When he speaks the sound thing, there's nothing but emptiness there. There's no exaltation or praises of him.
We're not thankful. We don't rejoice in when he speaks to us. He said the whole head is sick. He said no soundness in you at all, but wounds and bruises and putrefied sores. They have not been clothed. You can sense the stench. The stench that comes from the spirit. They're stinking. The spirit stink. You can sense the oozing of this pulse that runs from them. He said, neither bound up, you can see it, neither mollified with ointment. He says, no healing at all, none. Then whatsoever, why? Because of whole heart thing. There's no heart. His law's not in their hearts. And there's no love of Yahweh. Any man that said that he loveth Yahweh, keeping not his commandments, he's a liar. So there's no love in their hearts for the Father. So their hearts are faint. So they, when they hear these truths, when they hear what he commands, their heart becomes faint. Well, do I have to do that? And yet they do. And they do the things that the powers of darkness tell them to do. They keep the traditions of hell. They do the things that Satan says and commands them to do. And they do them wholeheartedly without any thought of doing them at all. They have no compunction with that. When it comes to the things of Yahweh, then they tend to move away from what he commands them and what he says for them to do. Let me read this one. Isaiah 40, verse 27 through verse 29. Isaiah 40, 27. What sayest thou, O Yaakov, and speak it, or what do you speak, O Israel? My way is hid from Yahweh, and my judgment is passed over from my Father. And that's what they say. My way is hid from him. His judgment is passed. He said, hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting Father, Yahweh, the creator of the ends of the earth, do you not understand it fainteth not, neither is weary? He doesn't faint and he doesn't get weary. Hallelujah. He said, there is no searching of his understanding. It's one thing he will do now. He giveth power to the faint. And to them that have no might, he increases strength. Let the weak say I'm strong. The poor say I'm rich. So it's one thing that he does for the faint. One thing he will do for the faint, he will give power to the faint. He will increase the strength of those that have no strength. That's why all that men would praise Almighty Yahweh, just knowing that he would give you strength in the midst of your weakness and your trials and your distress. That's why we ought to exalt him and uplift him. For he is mighty, there is none like him. And he is the only one that has power and might to redeem and to save and to bring us forth out of darkness. Only Yahweh can do that. May he give you strength, peace in your mind. May the word of Yahweh give you hope that we will not become weary in well doing, because we're doing well. He is in me. The Spirit dwells in me. And so I'm doing well. I'm doing well. Not what the world calls well. I'm doing well. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. May he bless you, give you strength and peace. May comfort your hearts tonight, saints. Be encouraged. Press on in the faith. For the hour is at hand. And he is going to come in the mighty power of his great anger and wrath. And pour out vengeance upon all of them that reject him. So I won't reject him. I won't reject the Father. I want to know the one that made the Son. I want to know the one that quickened him and made him alive. That's who I want to know. I want to know him. I want to know him. Hallelujah. I want to know him. For he has sent that Son to make us inheritors of his kingdom blessing. And I want to go into the kingdom. That's what I want to say. There's nothing else worth living for. Nothing. Nothing but to please him. May Yahweh bless you. May he give you strength and peace. I want you to be encouraged, saints, because I am. I will not get weary in well-doing. I am encouraged today. I really am. I really am. May he cause your hearts to rejoice and that you may have delight in this hour. For the great trial is soon to try us all. The just is going to walk by faith. We're going to be justified because we trust him. You're not going to be justified because of what you say. You're going to be tried to see if you're truly justified. And the just, we're going to live, we're going to trust him by faith. He's the one that justifies us. He's the one that has made us right. Not by any works of righteousness that we have done, but according to His mercies, His grace. He saved us your way. He saved us. So it's not by any works that you've done. Nothing you've done, not because of what you said. He just simply saved you. That's amazing, because there was a woman, there was a man and a woman. Yeah, that's why I was a little late for dinner. They came. They were just impressed because they came down the road. That little, her husband's a pastor. And they came and they wanted to talk. And she started talking. I said, she was talking so much. I said, first of all, you need to be quiet, woman. I talked to him. I talked to your husband. You talk too much. Because she didn't. She didn't get upset. But she said, hold on. As I talked to your husband, I don't like to talk to women like that. I said, you talk too much, all right? And I know what she learned then, because she told me, she said, Pastor, she said, I started off with Robin Goon when he first started off. She said, when I left from there, I left him. And I went to some whorehouse she called the Church of God or something like that. She said it was one of the biggest ones. This Lincoln Church, some man. She went to some place. The Church of God, something like that. Big old huge whorehouse. And she said, you always began to deal with my heart concerning the truth of the Scripture. And then he delivered me from all of that. And she said they were here in Jefferson and they never came this way. So for some reason she just drove down this way to see. And then when they showed her, she said, you all been here that long? She said, my, I never had any idea that you all were here. Yahweh doesn't intend for them to know. He doesn't. He's not gonna let them blaspheme his name again, saints. He isn't. And that's just the truth. They profane his name. You know, I was doing a little research on that. There's a God that his name is Eclipia. Eclipia. Now that's where they get that staff and the snake. Snakes around the staff and the doctors. That's the God's name. Eclipia. And what happened, and they said that one day, that the snake came to bite Eclipia. He was a god. He was one of the titans. He was one of the ones that was birthed out of one of the titans. And so what he did, he bruised the snake's hand. And there was another snake that came. And the snake that came, it had some herbs in his mouth, some green herbs, and it put it on the head of the snake. And the snake lived. His head was healed. And so Eclipia, that's why he had a staff now. He bruised the snake's head. And so that's why the symbol of the snake and the snake, that's how it came about, saints. And these folks don't even know what they're dealing with. They don't even know. They don't even understand. They really don't. That's the strength of that God. There are many gods. There are many, many, many gods. And they all have names. It's only this heathen thing they call, quote, Christianity, that has no name. He's just Lord. He's just God. No, he has a name. There's a name. Every God, he is honored by his name. Every man is honored by his name. It's the corruption of these tribes with their pens. Yet you're always revealing. I said to that couple, I said, I pray often, Yahweh, send the mighty man of anointing with great power. I said, just one prophet. That's all it takes. One. If he's truly a prophet. One man. That's all it takes. And of course, I told his wife, you know, shut your mouth, woman. You talk too much. I say, you know, the scripture tells you. You tell me what scripture says. I said, woman, the scripture says, for woman just to be quiet. If you don't learn anything, you ask your husband at home. I said, I talk to him. They shut your mouth, all right? Well, okay. And she didn't rise up like most folk arise. She shut her mouth. Isn't that something? You can tell he was a little scared, too. He got out of his car and started talking. I said, well, he had a very gentle spirit. And she started, I said, now, see that? You're talking too much. Be quiet. Sure. Sure, that's what a righteous man does. Then looking at her, he told me, I preach just like you. Of course, I preached for about 30 minutes out there. Made them be quiet because they didn't have nothing to say. He didn't have nothing and she didn't. Believe me. So I did the preaching. Who do you think you are? Well, they came here. All right. So I did the preaching for about 30 minutes. And she said that that's all. I am so thrilled. Well, because she's learned all that trash from Robin Goo and Livingston and Lancaster, whatever his name, the Church of God, whatever. This is just trash. I said, first of all, you can come visit us and serve us. Don't wear no pants. You got no pants. She said, hey, these whole houses, they go any kind of way. They dress like whores. I don't care what you say. That's what they dress like. Jezebel. It's an ill-repute house today. They don't say nothing today. There's a time that even the Baptist folks say they wear pants. That's all they do now, pants. Them girls got dresses up here. That is the truth, brother. Nothing is said. Don't tell me that's of your way. That is a perverted spirit. It's a vile thing. It is. There's no check at all. They don't tell them about their sin, saints. I don't want to see another man like that. You can find, that's why they tell you to find the church of your choice. You can always find one that you like. And when they step on your toe, well, pastor, you know what you said. Well, I understand. Well, maybe you didn't understand how I conveyed it. No, I meant what I said, woman. You need to shut your mouth. And I said, because I told that woman that she didn't fight me one bit. She said, okay, okay. And that woman got quiet. I guarantee you she haven't got that quiet. You should be running your mouth. I said, he's the man. I don't even talk to sisters. I said, I don't even talk to them. You be quiet. I want to talk to him. Shut your mouth. Sure I told her that. Sure I did. Sure I did. I talked to your husband. I don't want to talk to you. Shut your mouth, woman. She got quiet, too. And then when she was talking, Yeah, shut your mouth, all right? Let me talk to him. He said, I preach just like you. I said, yeah. We find out then. You come on the service then. I said, you show up often Wednesday night. You're welcome. But don't wear no pants now, you. Put on a dress and fix yourself up. May Yahweh bless you. Bless you. Let us stand to our feet. Hallelujah. Father in all things, we thank you. We bless you tonight. Go with your people. Bless us all. Keep us strong in the faith. Give the brothers rest tonight. I pray in Messiah's name. Hallelujah. Yahweh bless you all. Hallelujah.